When we think of the role of a shepherd, we often think of tenderness and one that is very gentle, and that is certainly true. But the text before us shows us that there are times when the role of a shepherd involves fierce physical activity and great strength. We hear our text taken today from 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, beginning with the 33rd verse. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. While coming down the dark, smoke-filled stairwells of one of the World Trade Center buildings on 9/11, one survivor remembers in that eerie silence coming down the stairwell, hearing someone's voice ahead of him reciting the words of the 23rd Psalm. It's one of the most beloved and well-known portions of Scripture, and how fitting it is that God had this very comforting psalm written by David, who himself one time served as a shepherd when he was young, as he refers to here in our text. This, of course, is the scene right before young David, a teenager, possibly as young as 14, is going to be going up against Goliath. And he now reminds Saul, who thinks he's crazy for entering this situation, he reminds Saul of some of the things that God permitted him to do and how God protected him as he was caring for his sheep as a young shepherd. And in this text, and likewise in the story before us of David going before Goliath, we have a great example of, you might say, a historical figure in the Old Testament becoming a typological prophecy, a picture prophecy of the coming Christ and his work as well. And so today, let us kind of look at this story in light of that and view the parallels, you might say, that there are between these two great individuals, from the lesser to the greater, from David to Christ. As a shepherd boy, David would frequently have to put himself into harm's way. And in his mind and heart, the lamb that he had to go rescue from the mouth of a lion or a bear, that lamb was worthy of his own life, worthy of the danger it would cause to him. And so he placed an enormous value in doing that upon the life of that little animal. And so it is with the Son of God. The Son of God, enjoying all of the safety of heaven, could easily have stayed there. But he looked down at the great danger that you and I were in because of the fall into sin and what that would mean for our future. And he chose to give up his safety and security in heaven and to enter our world and to take on human form to come and to rescue us. And he did this for us and for our salvation, coming down from heaven. He has looked at you and me, the sheep in his flock, and has decided that each one of us, each of you individually, is worthy. He places a value on your head that is worthy of his own life being sacrificed. Even now today, the devil still comes like a ferocious animal into the flock of Christ, trying to rip one of his sheep away and drag it off. And Christ again comes after us and goes after us, chases us down, fighting off that enemy, and through the process of repentance in our hearts, brings us back to his grace and into the fold of his care. Now, it's with that same confidence that David would approach these little incidents in his time as a shepherd, it's with that same type of confidence and boldness that he now places himself in the position of going up against this enormous giant Goliath. I remember my grade school teacher standing on a chair showing us how tall 9 feet tall would be, which is roughly the size. More than likely, the armor that Goliath was wearing weighed about as much as David himself. Gives you a little bit of a perspective on the size difference. But David now willingly goes up against this enormous Philistine that had been causing such fear in the minds and hearts of the Israelites. Think of it, all these soldiers in their camp just quaking and fearing and trembling as they looked across the valley at this big giant standing up on the cliff, every day coming out and taunting them to send someone across to try and challenge him. I'm sure that when little David came out to approach Goliath and began speaking to him, you can only imagine the kind of smile that Goliath had on his face. We're told in the scriptures that he disdained him. Who's this little runt that's going to come out and challenge me? You send a little kid out in front of me? What a joke. David appears to be very insignificant and very unimpressive. By worldly standards, he doesn't stand a chance. But think of this picture of this little kid standing across from this 9-foot giant up on the hill and saying to him boldly, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." What audacity. You know, our Lord Jesus doesn't look very big and impressive to the world either. In his day, he was mocked and ridiculed, and he didn't seem like much. And yet, our Lord Jesus stands before the great giant of the grave of death, and he says those powerful words of prophecy in the book of Hosea, "O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction." David goes down into the stream and picks up a few small stones the way you did when you were a kid and would skip them on the lake. He picks up a few small stones and takes them with him, just big enough to put in the backside of his slingshot. Could only imagine what the Philistine, the giant, was thinking as he watched David picking these little stones out. Our Lord Jesus went up against death with just this frail little body of a carpenter's son. Had no great appearance of being a warrior. We're told in Isaiah that he had no form of comeliness. And yet he was going to go into the battle with death in this way. But this is often the way God operates in the world. He often chooses to come in very humble and lowly ways that aren't very impressive to the world. Think about the means of grace that brought you into the kingdom of grace, water and baptism and some words being spoken and bread and wine, pretty meaningless looking things, but the power of God is hidden inside of them, just as we see with David's stones and as we see with our Lord Jesus going to the cross with his lowly body. And of course, we know the story that David strikes Goliath and he falls down. We're told that David ran up and took Goliath's own sword and cut off his head. And what an image that must be. David's success over Goliath was based upon his confident trust in God's promises to him. It wasn't some great youthful heroics and athleticism that caused this to happen. What we should admire in David is his confidence in God's promise that he would be the next king of Israel after Saul. And trusting in that, he knew that he could go into this situation and stand up against the one who was making a mockery of the Lord and his people. On the little sheet that you have before you, I ran off an image of David standing and holding the enormous head of Goliath. This is drawn by Gustave Doré, French artist. And I've always loved that picture. It's a little gruesome, of course, but that's really quite a powerful image to think of that. We're told that after the story goes on, that David took the head of Goliath back into the city of Jerusalem. Now just think of that. This 14, 15-year-old kid walking into town, probably holding by the hair, the head of this huge giant that had been making everybody absolutely terrified. And it wasn't just a trophy. That head symbolized that the enemy that they were so afraid of had been done away with. On Easter, our Lord Jesus cut off the head of your future death. And he grabs it by the hair. And through his word and sacraments, he walks into you, his new Jerusalem, his believers, and he holds the head of your death in front of you and says, I have defeated him. You have nothing to be afraid of. I'm sure that those Israelites went back out into that valley that used to make them so afraid with a little different confidence, having seen the head of that slain giant. And so it is for you and me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. My death has been decapitated. Amen.